Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM, frequency modulated band, and transmitting and streaming live, unscripted and unrehearsed, all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. And happy am I, as always, that all of Captain Joe's people who listen to me live every week are once again huddled around your crystal set to hear what I have to say this week. And this week it is going to be a little bit of a bittersweet program because I need to clean out, rouse out, and restow one of my own personal gear lockers. So my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and especially to those to whom I am indebted to give a reply to a message, a text, a signal sent to me by email, a letter that comes to me in an envelope with a stamp written by hand and possibly by a fountain pen, of which I now have a couple that have been given to me by dear and close friends. A fountain pen. It uses ink. You can buy the ink either in little cartridges, or best of all, you can buy it in a bottle. Hard to find that. And my other greetings go out to all of us who are citizens of this great land that we all continue to serve. The 4th of July is the anniversary of the final approval of the Declaration of Independence, and in the story of John Adams, written by David McCullough, I have now gotten to the part of the story where his wife Abigail dies, and the terrible feelings of grief and, in some cases, even some guilt, I think, on the occasion of her death. And John, of course, lives for some years after that. And not only am I at that part of the story, but I am also at the part of the story where the reconciliation between John and Thomas Jefferson is now complete, and they have been exchanging letters back and forth for several years. So the 4th of July, I am reminded of the 4th of July by a message, an all-coast, that came to me this morning from the purported to be from the commandant, but it was actually signed by a vice admiral, a three-star, who is the chief of all Coast Guard operations, the vice commandant for operations. I don't know why the commandant herself did not sign this message, because one of the things that our guest three-star talked about was the fact that the Francis Scott Key Bridge is now not functioning as a bridge, but at least the channel, the fairway, is open, and it's open to its charted dimensions. And the admiral makes note of that, and he makes note of the fact that the Francis Scott Key Bridge is named, of course, for Francis Scott Key, who penned the what we now call the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. It is to me to send the warmest 4th of July greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. Here on the magical Isle of Vashon, we are unincorporated King County. And King County has a prohibition against any private fireworks. So here on the island, a barge will come in on the afternoon of the 4th, And that barge will be anchored in Quartermaster Harbor. Should you choose to call up a nautical chart, you can find one on the internet. And a reproduction of the nautical chart, which includes Vashon Island. And if you look at Quartermaster Harbor, you will see that there is a place there where our barge will be anchored. It will be anchored right off of the little town of Docton. A parenthetical insertion here, that is also where is now at anchor the boat which I hope to purchase, a 27-foot Catalina. But the owner of that boat remains elusive, and so I am equally reluctant to send any money out into the blind, and I await his return from wherever it is that, and I've been awaiting this return now for 2 years, so somewhere, somehow, soon, your captain will once again have a boat to captain. The binnacle list is essentially unchanged from last week. There are several upcoming and very serious surgeries. People that are friends of family rank in my life who are undergoing surgeries to either replace significant joints or to deal with very serious cancers. As always, all of you who are on the binnacle list remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. And as we get closer to these significant encounters with crossing the bar, because when we go under, there is always that risk and that concern. Know that each of you who is on the binnacle list, for whatever reason, medical, financial, mental, emotional, whatever the reason is that you are on our binnacle list from the captain's chair, you are always in my heart and in my mind and in the palm of my hand. From events of last week, there were several things that happened, and this is where I get to the bittersweet part. One of the things that happened during the week was that I did my Sunday tours out at Point Robinson Light Station. And one of the things that can happen is that a guest or visitor, especially children, can be issued a poster. And on this poster is shown on one side a map of the state of Washington, and it shows all of the lighthouses that have ever been built in Washington State. And all of them are still functioning with the exception of the one at Admiralty Head up in the north end of Whidbey Island. And on the other side is a series of photographs, and these are photographs of all of the lighthouses that you can actually get to. You cannot get to the one, for example, out on Destruction Island, which is out on the coast, about halfway down the coast between Seattle and Vancouver, and Portland, Oregon. In other words, the Columbia River. And so you cannot get to that one. It is a wildlife and bird refuge, and the only people that go out there are fish and wildlife people and the Coast Guard. But the ones that you can get to are shown on the other side of this poster. Point Robinson Light is the only place in the world that you can get that poster because the gracious lady who developed it, when she moved with her husband back to the East Coast, one wonders why anyone would want to do that. She gave me the rights to reproduce it, and it is one of the most popular things that we have, next to your captain, of course, at the lighthouse. And so we give them away, and I also have a stamp, because besides, each photograph is a little block. And that block was intended to, and is in fact used, to put a stamp to show that you have visited that particular light. My friends Anastasia and Aaron, Anastasia of the Kuma cloth, you all will remember that, especially you ladies who go hiking, will want to procure Kugler Kloss, came to me about a year ago. I gave them one of the charts, and we developed a challenge that they would go to each one of those and get the stamp, and if they couldn't get the stamp, they would put a photograph of themselves at that lighthouse and would report back to me at our open house in December of 2023. Well, not only did they report back with all of the blocks filled in, but they went to each one of these on their motorcycles. And out of all of this came a wonderful friendship. I treasure, value, and treasure every friendship that I have in my life. And I value and treasure especially, in a different way, those that come to me in what arguably is the second half of my life. Anastasia and Aaron are two of them. And so they completed the task, and now I have used their story to tell many other people, and I have gotten a number of people started on their particular lighthouse quest. And in particular, I said, if you get to a time in your relationship that you need to do a little bit of self-examination, a good way to do it is to challenge yourself to go to one of the lighthouses that is on the chart that you've not yet visited and complete that particular task. And use that opportunity to do any repair work. And if no repair work is needed, then use that opportunity just to have a good time, just to have a great day out. And you don't have to ride a motorcycle to do it. And so as a result of my encouragement, I now have a number of people who are following Anastasia and Aaron's example. They have all been instructed that on the open house this year, which is going to be on the 8th of December, put it on your calendar now because that is the day by which I will have all of my homemade chili made. And come and be a part of a great island event. It is what, for many island people, the beginning of the holiday season, whichever holiday they choose to observe, or if they choose to observe no holiday, just a good time out. So all of these people, I'm expecting that several of them will indeed return. They will get a visit with the Lighthouse Santa, the only lighthouse in the world that has its own resident Santa. They will get the captain's homemade chili along with another great lunch, and they will have the opportunity to meet wonderful island people. So that's the story about the lighthouse quest, but it goes a little bit farther because my correspondence has dwindled in some places to almost a zero level. And this is because, and I make no excuses, there are no excuses in life, I make none, but I have made some choices about how I use time, and time has now become my adversary rather than my friend. And some of those choices have been self-indulgent. In other words, I did not use all of the time available to me to carry out all of those things which I want and need and should and must do. And among those is to keep up with the correspondence, including messages which are wrapped around a rock and tossed into the front lawn of captain's quarters. That does occasionally happen. So here is my self-examination, and that is that I need to do better at using the time which is available to me to take care of things which are important to me, important to people who send me these signals and who become concerned about whether I'm still upright. So to all of you out there, I am not only upright, I am not only fulfilling all of the actions, except I need to do better on the correspondence. One of the elements in the signal that came from Anastasia the other day was, is there anything that we have done that may have caused you to have some disquietude with us? She didn't quite put it that way. That's my convoluted and Byzantine use of the English language. And I hastened to send a short signal this morning to say absolutely nothing. And that you, all of Captain Joe's people, family, friends of family rank, those who have served with me before, those who are all part of my Captain Joe's people family today, would know if there was any reason for there to be some disquietude. So moving on, I am now looking ahead. And looking ahead, I have a visit from my Fairbanks family. They're arriving this evening and unhappily can only stay for a couple of days, but we will make the best use of the time that we possibly can. And then I am looking forward to at least a meal together with my Stockholm family, passing through all too quickly. And then I am going to go to the change of command for Polar Star, down in Vallejo, California. She's in the shipyard there for a continuation of her major overhaul. So the dance cards, there are many dance cards, and each dance card is full of dances. Every single one is taken up. And yet, when a Mayday signal comes to me, and one did come to me today from a family member who needs a little come to the captain time, when that happens, then I will always be able to figure out how to do it. And what that really means is that I need to be less self-indulgent and more concerned about the things that I need, must, and should do. One of the things coming up is that my grandson Joel is having his wedding on my property. Having heard nothing from Joel, and here's a parenthetical insertion, Joel was never trained in the planning in the military planning process. And so there are a number of Irish penates in his plan. So I felt compelled to send him a signal and say, Joel, it is time for a come-to-the-captain conversation because I need to know some numbers. I need to know what is the final guest count. I need to know how many vehicles are coming because I need to arrange and set up the parking situation around Captain Joe's captain's quarters. And I had said to Joel, when we first started talking about this, that if there were family members or friends who were coming to the wedding and who wanted to camp on my property, we would be able to organize that and arrange that and be happy to do it. I heard nothing from Joel about, in particular, the campers. So in my signal, I said, having heard nothing from you about camping, I am assuming that no one is taking up that particular offer, and should anybody at the last minute decide they want to camp on my property, they will be most welcome, and I will be able to deal with that. Almost immediately, a signal from Joel came back. Grandpa, I should have told you this. There will be about 25 people camping on your property with probably 15 tents. Now, I have spent my whole working life dealing with unexpected challenges. This one, though unexpected, is certainly amenable to solution, and we have worked out the solution for it all. What is going to be a challenge, however, is that they're going to be not only 15 tents, but on another piece of my property are going to be three canopies set up to shield from, should it rain, or from the sun. Hopefully we will have some of that. Now, I believe we are up to almost 80 guests. Some of these people have never been on a ferry before. I don't know any of Maddie, for that is his intended. Lovely, lovely young lady. I don't know any of her family except herself. I know my own family very well. I know how to manage all of that. And so I sent a signal back to Joel and I said, we'll make it all work. He and I then talked on the telephone. We'll make it all work. We'll make it all fit. It's going to be a great, wonderful family celebration, not separation. Oh, gee, God, let us not even let words like that slip in. But there are some competing activities for the space. And part of Joel's disclosure was that the food service is being provided by somebody in Maddie's family, and it is arriving in the form of a large grill, which is coming in a U-Haul, and there is no way that a U-Haul can be gotten down to where the grill is going to go, and so therefore I may be organizing a sledging party. Like in Antarctica, like Shackleton, like Scott, like Amundsen's ledges, loading this great big grill for all of these people. Next week, I will be broadcasting from right now. It looks as if I'll be broadcasting from Polar Star in Vallejo, and if there's any update to the Joel wedding saga, and saga it has become, then I will include that in my remarks. But in the meantime, a shopping spree at Thriftway. This is my public service announcement for the Voice of Vashon. We are in the midst of one of the big fundraisers for Voice of Vashon, where we sell raffle tickets, and the winner of the raffle ticket gets a 3-minute zip around Thriftway, and everything they can get in the cart they get to keep for that particular ticket. I sold raffle tickets on Saturday and had just a wonderful time because there were so many people that came up, and besides buying tickets, they just wanted to visit. And the visitation price was to buy a raffle ticket. So I did pretty well on the sales, but I am not one of those that goes and chases people out in the car park and say, you've got to buy a raffle ticket. However, I have bought my own. I believe very strongly that those of us who produce and who are given the privilege of a radio broadcast time on the Voice of Vashon should also contribute to its financial survival. And I know that all of Captain Joe's people who listen to me feel the same way, because whenever a donation comes in which is tagged with, this is to keep the good captain on the air, then I get a signal from Kate, the ever-lovely Kate, and she lets me know that this came from one of my people. We are the only broadcast of which I'm aware on Voice of Vashon that we can identify both a solid listener base and generous donation base. And for that, as always, I am enormously grateful. The couple of interesting things have happened in the week in the shipbuilding business, and one of them is that the former Secretary of the Navy has accepted the position of chairman for AUSTAL, AUSTAL. Now, why do I think that is a significant thing? It is a significant thing because AUSTAL has a branch in Mobile, Alabama. And it is that branch that has built a number of the littoral combat ships, the LCSs, about which I've talked probably to exhaustion here, and only to be sure that none of those are handed over to the Coast Guard should we ever need hulls for our operations, that we not ever accept one of them. I was the captain of one of the ships that we got from the Navy. That was one of the seaplane tenders, Unimac, and a wonderful ship and a wonderful command, a wonderful crew, and an XO that is a lifelong friend. But the LCSs, no way are we going to take one of them should I ever have the opportunity to weigh in on that subject. But even more to the point, so far as the Coast Guard is concerned, Austal is involved in the construction of the next group of the offshore patrol cutters, of which my Ingham is one, under construction now in a lollygagging way in Eastern Shipbuilding down in Panama City, Florida. All of these things are of interest and concern, not only to me, but to all of Captain Joe's people, because I expect to live long enough to be at the commissioning of the next Ingham. And in the meantime, I watch things like revolving doors of former secretaries of the Navy going to head up companies like Austal, which is an Australian firm, which leads me to Australia. Stars and Stripes this week has a very interesting article about the increasing influence that Australia is taking in the Pacific. We all recall that how close it was in World War II that Japan was the invader into Australia up in the north end, up in the north part of the country in Darwin. It was really closely run, and Australians today, most of them, remember the extraordinary effort that was put in to make sure that that did not happen. So here we are 75 years later, and now Australia is buying nuclear-powered submarines from us and is increasing its size and lethality of its armed forces in all respects to take up a much larger position in the defense of the Pacific. It remains to be seen whether or not we're going to have any Australian presence in the South China Sea. Right now, that is being handled by the U.S. Coast Guard, by the U.S. Navy. U.S. Coast Guard, of course, the service around which the Navy coalesces in times of danger. So the Australians are intending, by their financial investment, in particular in the nuclear submarine business, to make a real showing and a real presence in the defense of the Pacific, and in that do I always wish them well, and will be continuing to watch their progress. In the business of home cooking, I don't know how this happens, but somehow or other, I am the recipient of a number of websites that I did not request, and am still reluctant to expunge from my email program. And the reason for that is that every now and then one pops up that is just fascinating to me. One this morning from a site called Recipes Direct. The recipe for the day is chicken dump dinner. I have not looked at the recipe to see what a chicken dump dinner involves. I am brought to mind of a dumpster, and so therefore the connection is not a happy one. But I will take a look at that and see what it is that we have got to accumulate in order to make a chicken dump dinner. China, the ever-present China and ever-present in more parts of the world.